Before we get to our message here this morning, I just want to just recall our minds to where we've been here for a moment. We're in the midst of a series titled True Spirituality, and we began our series discussing and talking about God's dream for our life. And we saw that God's dream for our life was that He wanted our lives to be full of joy, but also that He wanted our lives to be free and full of freedom. Then we began to look at what God wants the most from us. And we saw that what God really wants the most from us is for us to surrender to Him. And we found that when we do surrender to Him, that the power of God is unleashed in our life. And we looked at that the last couple weeks. This morning, we're going to begin a two-week session on getting God's best for your life. And that's the title of our message here this morning, Getting God's Best for Our Life. And friends, God does have a best for our life. He has a desire for your life, and He has a yearning for what He wants you to experience in life. Friends, God is a good God, and He only wants good things for you and for me. If you brought your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, specifically verse 2. Turn to Romans 12, and we will read verses 1 and 2 here this morning. Beginning in verse 1. I beseech you there, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. I can't tell you how many times over the years individuals come up to me and they ask me one question, and the question goes like this: what is God's will for my life? What should I do? What work should I be about? Where should I live? What should I, do in life? And quite honestly, the answer is in verse 2, and we're going to unpack this morning. I believe that we need to begin to look at this in verse 2, and we need to live lives of integrity. But this is a purpose clause, that we may prove what is God's good and acceptable and perfect will. That means God has a desire for you. He has a desire for me. He has wishes for you. He has wishes for me. And He has a plan for your life and for my life. But if we exclude the first half of verse 2, we will never be able to be proving what God's will is for our life. If you look with me, there's three things I want us to notice here this morning. The first is in the first clause of do not be conformed. And it's about integrity, friends, and we are commanded to not be conformed to the pattern of this world. The command, it indicates an ongoing action. It's not a one-time deal, a one-time effort. It's an ongoing thing, but it's also in the passive voice. And this is imperative, or it's important that we realize this. It's in the passive voice, which denotes that this is something that is happening to you and to me. And I'll just say it up front right now. You and I are going to be changed throughout the course of our life here in this world. The question is, what are we going to be changed to? What are we going to be changed to become? And this verse speaks it all. It speaks that we will become changed to look more like the world, or we will become changed to be transformed to look more like Christ. The question isn't whether or not we're going to be changed. That's answered. We will either be conformed to the pattern of this world, or we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind to show the likeness of Christ in our life. J.B. Phillips, he translates this phrase this way, and he says, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold." And friends, what's being addressed here is the occasion where our outward expression, our outward actions, it does not reflect that which is within you and me. And so we have this issue here. This issue, and what's at stake is peace, God's peace. Jesus said that He came to give us peace, not as the world gives us. But when we have this conflict going on, this lack of integrity in our life where our outward actions don't reflect what Jesus has already done deep within our soul, we have a lack of peace. Many times individuals, they suffer from this, and they're anxious, and they're unsettled, and they have all of these things going on, and really it's a heart issue because they are being conformed to the pattern of this world, and this change is being exerted and affected upon them from the outside in. Hear that. The world will force you to change from outside pressures. And it goes in direct opposition to what God will do when he transforms you and I, because he, we will find in a few moments, he changes us and transforms us from the inside out. And so we're told not to be conformed, not to be squeezed into the world's mold. And we are not to masquerade or put on an act and specifically follow a prescribed pattern or scheme of things. But we are to be consistent. Our lives are to be lives of integrity. Our lives are to be lives that are consistent with what God has done in our hearts and our souls. You might ask the question, what has God done in us? 2 Peter 1 verse 9 says that, "And he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." I think of the snow, and every time it snows, I think about the snow purifying the atmosphere, and that's exactly what snow does. But then I think about the blood of Christ and how the blood of Christ purified our souls. And the scripture says that we have been made white as snow. And so when we are in the process of being conformed, what is happening is we are forgetting what God has enacted deep within our heart and soul. Colossians, we're told that he has made us alive with Jesus, and he has forgiven us all of our trespasses. 1 John, we're told that our sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. In Colossians, we're told we have been redeemed through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And again, further on in Colossians, we're told that we are complete. Hear that. We are complete in Jesus Christ. We are lacking nothing. The individuals that I talk with years and years and ongoing times, what is God's will for my life? They're not experiencing that completeness. They're looking and they're lacking for something that this world they think can provide for them. And friends, you and I are complete in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" I want to just stop right here. The Spirit of God. There's a reason there's an adjective before the word Spirit, and it's holy. Because it is God incarnate, God himself. The Spirit of God dwells within you and with me. It dwells within all of those who have professed faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So what God has done is he has sealed you and I with his Holy Spirit for later redemption. The Holy Spirit is earnest. It's an earnest payment. When you purchase a house, you put down earnest money for later on so that you are saying, "I'm going to go buy this thing." It's holding it. It's putting it in reserve, if you want to say it that way. And so God has put that payment down on your life and on your heart and on your soul. He's put that payment on my life, my heart, and my soul. And because of that payment, he's going to come back and he's going to redeem it. But when he put that payment down, he knew that he couldn't leave you and I in the same state that we were in. He had to change us. He had to radically change us and remodel your soul, our soul. And yes, I'll say it that way. He remodeled your insides to reflect him, because how on earth could a holy God inhabit something that was not made holy? And that, my friends, is exactly what something being made holy is. It's being set apart for use for the divine. It's being set apart from something. We have been set apart from the world, and we have been set apart for God's use. And that's the essence. That's the issue here. And so when our conforming nature, we all want to be accepted. We all want to be liked. We all want to fit in. I relate to that. I get that. Part of many of the issues that I struggled with years ago when I went to college was the core of that. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be liked. I wanted to be one of the guys. And God says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Why? Because he has set us apart for him and only for him. He has set us apart for his use, for his glory, for his desire, for his will. And friends, I'm here to tell you the worst place that a Christian can be is outside the will of God, but the best place that a Christian can be is right dead center in God's will. And that's where we're driving at here this morning. We're not going to spend much time on the clause to this world. As I mentioned, it's not a question if we are going to be changed throughout the life that we live here in this world, but we will be changed. The question that we need to answer is, what are we be changing to look like? Are we being changed to reflect more of the world, or are we being changed to reflect more of Christ? I also mentioned the world exerts power from without to bring about change. And this phrase, meaning the world, it's referring to all the worldly systems, the society, the values and the beliefs, the expected norms, the acceptable sins. And yes, I said it that way, there are acceptable sins in this life. They're not acceptable according to God. The manifestations of pride and rebellion and lies and the error and the false religions. And we could boil it down to this, the treatment of people. That's all with the world. Next week, we're going to dig more into that, what it means to be set apart from the world. Not that we are separatists, because I don't believe in that. I believe that we are in the world and not of the world, and we are called to be the salt and the light of the world. We are called to make people thirsty for Christ. We are called to point people to the light of the world, Jesus. We are not to be separating and to be cowering backward. We are called to engage the world. And as I mentioned, we all need to ask ourselves the questions. What are we giving ourselves over to be influenced by? We could talk about the TV shows, the books we read, the movies we watch, you know, the company that we keep. And it's all going to influence us, to move us in one direction or another. Are we being conformed to the way that this world does? Scripture says that, you know, bad company corrupts good morals. Are we submitting to time and time again to the influence of society, the media, and how about how we fill ourselves with the entertainment that we embrace? All it will do is skew our thoughts. It'll skew our beliefs. It'll change us. We may not be changed totally overnight, but little by little, the steadily erosion of our core convictions and our values and our beliefs and what we order our life by, they will slowly erode away. And then before we know it, we will begin to look more and more like the world. I don't know where you are at with this. All I know is how God leads me and convicts me of different things that he has revealed in my life over the past several weeks and months. But I offer this word of encouragement. If you are here this morning and you're struggling with feeling like, uh-oh, I've allowed the world to pattern me into its likeness, I share this word from the first book of John, 1 John 4:4. And I'll just preface it with, do not fret. Understand where you're at. And here's why you shouldn't fret. Because he who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And all we need to do is to begin a process and say, Lord, we need to accept the fact that our lives aren't reflecting integrity. But then we also need to embrace what is exactly we are opening ourselves up to the influence of. And here's the second command of this verse. We are commanded to be transformed. It's a command in the present tense and in the passive voice again. The first command, do not, was in the negative. This command is in the positive. Do not do this, but do this. It comes from the Greek word where we get the English word metamorphosis. It indicates an outward change in appearance. And this is the same thing that a caterpillar goes through, a change. And friends, this is the same word that in Matthew 17, verse 2, that the gospel writer spoke of when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. I'll read that for you. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And so what the Apostle Paul, what God is saying here in Romans 12, verse 2, to be transformed. His will and what he wants for you and for me is to have the peace that what is being reflected in our external lives, all the things that people see, is the reflection of what he has already accomplished and done deep within your soul, within your heart, and within your being. Friends, you cannot manufacture that. You cannot manufacture the attributes of God, the fruit of the Spirit, and it's singular because there is one Spirit, but there are many facets to all of the fruit. The love, the peace, the joy, the patience, the gentleness, the goodness, the kindness, the self-control. And he is saying, be transformed. Allow your external actions to be changed, to take that metamorphosis and have that change reflected into the world. But he doesn't leave us off there. He doesn't say, okay, what do we do here? He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We could look at Matthew chapter 4, and we could see that Jesus encountered the evil one, and every time he was tempted, he recounted with the Word of God. And friends, the Word of God is a powerful thing. It's very effective. It's a double-edged sword, able to separate joint and marrow and bone from marrow and all of the deepest thoughts that we have. And when we begin to allow ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the studying of His Word, the Holy Spirit will release power from within you and within me to bring about that change. Hear that. The Holy Spirit, not you, not me. You see, there's a difference here, and there's two different teachings here in our Christendom, and I'm going to just be blunt about it. There are churches out there that focus on the external actions, and there are churches that focus on the internal redemption that Jesus has already bought and paid for. And when we focus on reformation, which starts at the outward and seeks to move inward, it will never last, it will never stick, it will never be transforming. When the Holy Spirit of God seeks to change the heart of a person and that heart is changed, then the lifestyle, the choices, the actions, the words, the speech, the characteristics of that person are all changed. And you cannot, nor can I, manufacture that. God wants a complete metamorphosis of our thinking, of our will, of our desire, of our conduct. And it all starts up here in our mind, the 4-inch battleground. And that's what it is. To transform by the renewing of our mind. The Lord wants a complete change in the way we think, the way we reason, but also our inner disposition, meaning what is the core of where we live our life out of? What is the core and the basis for the decisions we make, the choices that we accept, the values that we adhere to, the morals that we embrace? What is that core? Is it God's Word or is it Fox News? Is it God's Word or is it some other teaching? Because friends, in all media, all entertainment, everything that is being put out, there is a teaching behind it. And I hope and I pray for you and for me that it is God's Word that is the disposition, the central focus of what we base our life upon. Jesus, He wants our heart and our inner being to be transformed. He wants His glory to shine through. He wants His honor to flow through our life. We can all aspire to do this outward change. The only way it can be accomplished is by the Holy Spirit working in us and through us and by our being filled with the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned, the transformation, it comes from the inside and it will always produce lasting change. And the primary vehicle the Spirit of God uses to bring about this transformation is God's Word. The psalmist David, he testified in Psalm 119, verse 11. He says, Lord, your word I have hidden in my heart. And here's the reason why, that he may not sin against God. You see, too oftentimes we accept the standards, we accept the tolerance in this world because of the media that is jammed down our throat. And to be quite frankly with you, I think that our world and our culture is influencing the church and Christians rather than Christians being the salt and the light influencing our world because we do not spend enough time in God's Word, which is alive and well, and we spend too much time accepting the media, accepting the teaching that is being given to us. When the Spirit of God uses His Word, God's Word, to transform our thinking, that our living will always follow. This is the Apostle Paul's thinking, and when he spoke of in the letter to the church at Colossae in chapter 1, verse 28, when he says, Jesus Christ we preach, meaning we teach and we warn every person, teaching every person in all wisdom. And here's the reason why, that we may present them perfect in Christ Jesus. Later on in that letter, he says, and having put on the new person who is renewed in the knowledge of God, the knowledge of his word. You know, it's been spoken of that the Bible is God's love letter to you and to me. And I think of, for those of you who are married, those of you who are in a relationship, if you had a love letter and you were separated from the love of your life, would you not go back time and time and time and time and time again? And we don't. We don't. We're more interested in our iPods and our iPads and our phones and all these other I things, and in all reality, we get consumed with it. Did you ever think of the reason why it's an iPhone? It's about me. An iPad, it's about me. It's about consuming and chewing up my time so that I neglect the weightier things of life. I neglect what God would have for me. And God does want a best for you. He wants a best for me, and it's to live in the center of his will. Later in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell, to live, to take up residence in you and in me richly. You see, a transformed mind, friends. I'm going to give you two definitions here. It's a mind that spends as little time as possible, even with the necessary things of earthly living, and as much time as possible with the things of God. A transformed mind is the mind that is set on things above, not on the things of the earth. And too often times we live in this earthly realm. We don't live with thoughts of heaven. We don't live with aspirations of going to be in glory with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We don't live with thoughts of yearning to be at home. For years I used to say, I can't wait to go home. So much so that one of my friends called me up and says, are you okay? You all right? You're not going to do something crazy, are you? No, I'm fine. I just can't wait to go home. I just can't wait to be with my Savior. I can't wait to be with the lover of my soul. I cannot wait. The third thing that we can see out of this verse is the intention. And this has to be our intention, that we will prove the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. And here's the purpose or the result phrase, that we want to prove what God's will is, that we want to discern what God's will is for our life. The purpose we have in standing against the world and not being conformed and allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our minds is to prove what God's will is. Listen to the qualities of this will. His good, his perfect, his acceptable will for you and for me. God's will is his desire for you and for me. He does have a desire for your life and mine, and God does have a desire for Trinity United Methodist Church. And this is the very reason why, right after I got here, people would say, what are you going to do? How are you going to change things? And I would answer universally, I don't know. And here's the reason why, because I want God's will for this church. I don't want my agenda. I don't want my desire. I don't want my will to be jammed down anybody's throat. I want God's best for this church. I want God's best for you, and I want God's best for me. And I conclude with this. Dedication. Living lives of integrity or not being conformed leads to discernment. Allowing what we are being influenced by to be known. To discern what is influencing us and what is changing us. And discernment of allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our minds. But then listen to what discernment leads to. It will always lead to delight. Delight in the will of God. The good, the perfect, and the acceptable will of God. So my challenge for all of us is to live lives with integrity. To be aware of what we are being influenced by. And then have the intention that we can discern. And delight in the good, the perfect, the will of God. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this challenge. And Jesus, we thank you for this good word. Father, I pray for courage for us all, that you would just empower us to make the choices that we need to make, that you would just give us your discipline and diligence that we would stand with you and we would recognize the remodeling that you have done within our souls, and we would embrace that, knowing that it brings lasting peace. And Father, the incongruity of living like the world does and yet being a child of God is a horrible thing. It takes away the peace that you purchased for us, peace with the Holy God, peace within our inner soul. And so, Father, may we be men and women of integrity. May we allow the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to influence our lives for the good. And Jesus, may we discern, and may our intention be to discern your will, your perfect and good and pleasing and accepting will for all of us. And Lord, may you receive all the glory and the honor and the praise and the blessing, for you and you alone are good. We thank you, Jesus, and we praise you. In the holy name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.